Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Kevin recorded that live. No mess-ups. Wow. Fantastic. Kevin Lytle from the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, has not entered the transfer portal. Kevin is still, he's sticking with the Coloradoan, we hear, at least at this point in time. We'll keep refreshing Twitter to see what happens, though. How are you, Kevin?
Doing good. I appreciate introducing myself, basically. That's kind of fun.
You know, I felt like who better to introduce Kevin Lytle than Kevin Lytle, right? You really don't even need an introduction, but why not have yourself just do it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, man, who is that idiot? Oh, gosh.
Dude, transfer portal madness is the state of everything. It's weird, Kevin. All three, like, I cover a little bit of both, four teams, I suppose, CU, Wyoming, CSU, UNC, and all of them, pretty big-named guys, are entering the portal.
Yeah, it's just how it is. There's never going to be an off-season again, you know, at least until, you know, unless there's significant structure change. But there's never going to be an off-season again where a roster is just, you know, stable. We had that. CSU men's basketball had that kind of early in the Roddy Stevens days, where it was pretty stable for those couple of years, you know, with those guys and Tanjay and Moores and Kendall Moore and Adam Thistlewood. That group was kind of the same. You're not going to get that anymore. I mean, just nowhere. It's going to change and shuffle, you know, for a variety of reasons. You know, every school has kind of a different reason why that will happen, but you're just never going to get, you know, the same 10 to 13 players back, you know, 1 year to the next.
No doubt about it. You're right. There's no off season. I just think about these coaches. I'm like, yeah, the money's great, but when does it become so stressful it's not worth it? I mean, all of these coaches, some of them were absolutely, you know, shocked by this. How about CSU? Obviously, we saw the news with John Tanjay. Were they expecting this?
Yeah, I don't think this one is a huge shock. I mean, I even wrote, you know, I think it was from the senior day game of, you know, they're a couple options, and especially for John, probably two realistically. Basically, stay at CSU, play a fifth year, or you've played your 4 years, go, you know, go see what you can do at a different level. And, you know, obviously that's what he's chosen. You know, right now it sounds like he has a whole ton of big schools reaching out. Obviously, reaching out is a very vague thing. That does not mean, you know, they're saying, hey, come be a starter for us. But yeah, I think it's, you know, they would have happily had John back, but also understood that he may want to pursue some other options, and that obviously is the case now. So no, I don't think there's any, you know, earth-shaking you know, news to that one from the CSU side.
What else are we looking at with them? I think my new way I'm doing this now is just tell me who's left. I mean, Wyoming has what, three guys now? CSU, it's not
Wyoming
as bad for CSU.
CSU, John's only one in the portal right now. There will be more, I know. There have been, you know, so CSU was on spring break a week ago, which is why we didn't really see anything. But, you know, everyone is back, which means they've had kind of the exit interviews, if you will, end of season interviews with Medved. And I know there have been some tough conversations and players that, you know, one way or another are going to be heading out the door. Obviously, they haven't made those public yet. You know, obviously, I'm not going to, you know, speculate or throw names out there, but, you know, I can say for sure there will be more guys leaving, which, you know, has been the expectation for a while now. That, again, it's kind of just broadly the expectation, but specific to this roster, there was going to be a little bit of a reshuffle and a refresh to some of the pieces.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. Well, the big one, Isaiah Stevens. I you know what was weird? I either thought he was going to try his hand at the NBA or Pro Day or be a Ram, but the idea of him transferring now doesn't seem that crazy. What are you hearing on Isaiah Stevens?
Yeah, my feelings on Isaiah haven't changed. I had someone, I think, on Twitter ask me after John left, basically, oh, does that mean, you know, Isaiah's going to be next? He's going to do the same thing? And I don't think they're tied together at all. Not that they're, you know, not friends, because of course they are, but I don't think those decisions were tied together. I think Isaiah's is still, I still feel that it's going to be either Pro or CSU. He certainly could go play elsewhere. I mean, he had I think there were probably some illicit contact made last year from some schools that would like to have him, and I'm sure that's probably happening again this year. If he did want to go, he would have options, but my hunch is that if he plays college, it will be at CSU, and even if that ends up not being the case, I don't think it's tied to the Tanjay decision at all. I think they're completely separate things, you know, two players and their families making decisions that, yeah, of course they played together a long time, but they're not deciding in unison or anything like that. So in my mind, nothing has, and I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but nothing has really changed on the, you know, kind of Isaiah process and decision to come.
When can we expect a decision? Because this is the other thing, Kevin, that's tough. I mean, again, CSU, any coach you talk to is all about David Roddy doing what was right for him, go do it, whatever. But the tough part about that is it kind of puts them behind the eight ball because you don't know if you need to recruit that position. It's hard to recruit that position. If a stud player wants to come here that's in that position goes, well, yeah, but if Roddy's there, I'm not going to play. So the same kind of situation is here for Isaiah Stevens. When might we know something?
Yeah, I think his will be quicker than Roddy. I feel almost certain that his will be quicker than Roddy's. The process will be a little different, partially, I think, being a senior, partially, you know, just if he's going to the NBA, it's in a different way than Roddy. You know, Isaiah, I think everyone knows he's not going to be, you know, a top 20, 25 pick, anything like that. It's more, you know, would he be picked, and if not, what type of, you know, contract could he get? So I don't think it's imminent. You know, I certainly wouldn't expect an Isaiah decision this week or next week. But I think it will be quicker than David. So I'm thinking maybe more April-ish than David's, which was what, end of May or something like that. So yeah, it's a little different process, but still slightly slower than just, you know, some of these transfer portal ones where it's just, I'm going to go.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting to see. That's the one we're waiting on. But big names, Kevin, I mean, throughout the front range have entered the transfer portal. Wyoming, it's like, what, 9 guys now? And then obviously the big one for them, Graham EK. Terrible timing of that decision, or that announcement came out the other day when I think Linder was an hour away from going to his dad's funeral. That was a tough one. But then you look at CU, which, again, I'm hearing, well, we know Dalton Connect's transferring. That's a fact now. And everything I'm hearing is that he might be a Buff. CU might be okay. But Lawson Lovering is entering the transfer portal. Does he have connections, perhaps, up north to Colorado State?
Yeah, it's funny, all these tie-ins, and some of them matter. Some of them end up not really mattering. Yeah, Wyoming, you know, obviously, basically the entire roster's gone. Obviously, a lot of people wanted to say, oh, you know, is EK going to come to CSU? I would imagine CSU has or will call, but I also think, especially with EK's, you know, injury history, he's probably going to shoot as high as he can into the high majors and see if he can make all that work and get himself, you know, pro prospects. And then, yeah, the CU-CSU-UNC connection is spinning right now. Like you said, Dalton Necht, obviously a lot of schools would want him. CU makes a lot of sense. You know, that'd be what, 20, 30 minutes away from where he grew up. Obviously they saw him up close and personal, just as CSU did. And then yeah, Lawson Lovering, he fits the billing for CSU. He's a, you know, big, strong defensive center. Not a great scorer, doesn't do that very well, but he feels like a guy that could pair with Patrick Cartier. And hey, guess what? CSU heavily, heavily recruited Lawson Lovering out of high school and felt pretty good about getting him at one point until CU kind of swooped in. So, you know, the family, you know, knows Medved and, you know, Ali Frokmanesh and crew. So, again, it's not a guarantee or anything, but I would have to imagine there's a conversation going on there.
That one's the shocking one to me. Graham EK, I get. Tanjay,
that be coming.
Yeah, Tanjay, I kind of get. So that was a little more shocking to me, I suppose. But the Lovering one is interesting to me because CU, at least if they get their two studs back, who are going to test the NBA waters to see what that looks like, they've got a stud recruit coming in, Cody Williams. They should be okay next year. So that one kind of shocked me, unless something was just going on. And again, I hate I'm not speculating there, but as far as Ted Boyle or whatever, but that one was a shocker, maybe the biggest one of all so far.
Yeah, it is interesting because obviously he plays, so it's not, you know, I think he started every game, so it's not a situation where he's going for playing time. But also, he's not like a mega star, so it's not like he's, you know, trying to go to, you know, whatever, Alabama or, you know, one of these top programs. So it is interesting. But yeah, there are a lot of reasons. You know, maybe he wants a different role in an offense or thinks a different system would fit him better, or, you know, the thing no one ever really talks about, but there can also just be other fits, you know, family, academics, whatever. So yeah, there are a lot of different things that, you know, maybe aren't top of mind, but can lead to these. But yeah, that one did surprise me a little bit because obviously he does play, Lawson Levering does play a really nice role for CU.
Well, and that's a good point you make up with the families too. Like a guy, Caleb Shaw here for UNC, some of the things I'm hearing is he's going to enter the transfer portal, but more so he can be somewhere closer to his family. So, I mean, those things, it's hard to fault guys for that. And again, there's going to be millions of reasons. I talked to one coach yesterday in the area that's just like, dude, reform has to happen. At some point, something has to tighten up.
Yeah, I mean, it is chaotic, and I do not love the time that the portal opened. It makes no sense to me to open as the NCAA tournament was starting, which seems really weird. It's, you know, you were talking about the fatigue, so to speak, on coaches. Imagine these ones that are in the NCAA tournament, but they have to be combing the portal for potential guys to add next year. And you look at the, you know, the list of schools that John Tanjay has been contacted by, most of them are in the tournament right now, which means someone is sitting there combing the portal, making some phone calls. It's kind of wild to have all of it happening at once. I've always been fully in favor of players having, you know, basically rights and flexibility to do things that coaches have done forever, and that's basically leave whenever you want. But I do think a little bit more guidance on, you know, how and when all this works would help. And I think they're trying to get that with the portal windows rather than it's just always open. I'm just not sure they nailed the right timing on the portal window.
Kevin, how does it work when a player wants to enter the transfer portal? What do they do? Do they just go tell someone? Do they even have to tell their coach, or can they just put their name in?
So, I mean, technically, you don't really have to tell your coach. I mean, there was a case, a CSU football player basically just no-showed practice and had cleared out his locker, and he was just gone. You do have to submit paperwork, though, so you have to work with, yeah, basically people in the administration side of the athletic department that handle all of the, you know, not just portal stuff, but a lot of the sort of red tape of college athletics. So you have to go through that, and they basically, you know, give you the paperwork, put your name in the portal. In a lot of ways, that's cleaner now than it used to be, you know, because back in the day, schools could, you know, put restrictions. You know, you can't mount, you know, if you're leaving CSU, you know, we're going to say you can't transfer to Mountain West school or whatever, or you could even block a transfer and just say, nope, we're not releasing you from your, you know, NLI. But now with the portal, it's basically just a paperwork submission gets put in, and then we all see the tweet saying so-and-so has entered the transfer portal.
Oh, man.
From some of these sites that have access, we'll call it, to the portal.
It's absolutely insane. And then coaches, again, we were talking about this. Coaches can just, there's some kind of database, a website, whatever, where a coach can just get on today and start scanning, right?
Yep. So, and it literally is, you know, kind of a portal, you know, a website that has, you know, coaches have basically an access code that they can go in and search through. And that's, again, one way or another, these sites that are announcing sort of who's in the portal, someone has granted them access, which, you know, technically is not supposed to happen, but obviously does and will continue to happen. And yeah, coaches can sit there and just comb through all of it. And that's the part that fascinates me, is just how overwhelming that is. There are what, I think 900 or so, maybe even more right now, just Division I players in the portal. And that doesn't even include, you know, your D2 guys, your, you know, NAIA guys, whatever it may be. So, just combing through and even trying to sift through the names to see who might be a fit. And, you know, then you're not even to the hard work of, you know, do they fit stylistically basketball-wise? Do they fit culture-wise? Are they interested? All those things. So it's just a crazy, crazy in-depth process that in a lot of ways, I don't even understand how coaches fully manage it.
I have no clue. I mean, I always thought college coach was tough anyway, but now you add this element. It's interesting. And I'm with you. I'm in favor of all this stuff. I am. I just, again, you got to, it's got to be tightened up somehow. NIL, transfer portal stuff, whatever. Kevin, last one for you. Any guys on your radar that could be coming to CSU? A 7-foot monster, right, that can handle the ball like a point guard, play defense like Gary Payton, perfect from the free throw line, hell of a 3-point shooter. Is that too much to ask to get a guy like that?
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said yesterday, I'm, you know, poking some fun on Twitter. You know, I think maybe Victor Wembanyama, I surely got that wrong. But he was going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, but he actually he decided Fort Collins looks like the place to be, so he's going to head on over. But, yeah, it's CSU is going to add a big for sure. Lawson Levering, I absolutely think, is one to keep an eye on. Again, I am not saying he's coming. I'm not saying it's a guarantee. But keep an eye on, because him or someone like that that can start, play center, be really good defensively, rebound a little bit, you don't really need them to score a ton because the other four will. Someone like that is someone, you know, the type that CSU will be looking for. And I can guarantee they will be adding a big this offseason.
Well, I'll be following you on Twitter, as I always do, my man. Kevin, appreciate you going there with us today on all this stuff. And we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado, on 1151 The Time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Tanner Schwint this spring for Preps Baseball on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.